Luke chapter 9, verse 10. I would like to share with you the story of Jesus breaking the bread and feeding the 5,000 men. And the apostles, when they were returned, told him all that they had done. And he took them and went aside privately into a desert place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. And the people, when they knew it, followed him, and he received them and spake unto them of the kingdom of God and healed them that had need of healing. And when the day began to wear away, then came the 12 and said unto him, Send the multitude away that they may go into the towns and country round about and lodge and get victuals, for we are here in a desert place. But he said unto them, Give ye them to eat. And they said, We have no more but 5 loaves and 2 fishes, except we should go and buy meat for all of this people. For there were about 5,000 men. And he said to his disciples, Make them sit down by 50s in a company. And they did so, and made them all sit down. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them and brake and gave to the disciples to set before the multitude. And they did eat and were all filled. They were all filled. Kind of sounds like the book of Acts chapter 2. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And there was taken up of fragments that remained of them 12 baskets. You may not realize it this evening, but I would like to introduce you to the truth that you're standing on miracle territory. This whole sanctuary, this whole place here is miracle territory. You can get the Holy Ghost in the balcony. You can get the Holy Ghost up here in the front, in the back, on the side. It doesn't make any difference where you're at. You might be in a desert place, but you're on miracle territory here tonight. And I claim that for you in the name of Jesus Christ. And I am here to persuade you and convince you that the gospel of Jesus Christ is for you. I said it's for you and your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Can anybody hear the call of God tonight? And if you can feel the call of God on your heart, Jesus will fill you with the glorious gift of the Holy Ghost. I want you to lift your hands. I want you to invite God's presence into this place. I want you to bless the name of Jesus. Even if you are not Pentecostal, lift your hand and call upon the name of the Lord Jesus. Jesus, save me. Jesus, help me. Jesus, deliver me. Jesus, fill me with the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name. God bless you. You may be seated. The miracle that I read to you from the Word of the Lord was actually mentioned in all of the 4 Gospels. Each one gave their own account of what happened, and each one emphasized a different aspect. And this is what intrigues me about the event. Jesus purposely took His disciples into a desert place to prove to them this point, that miracle territory does not depend on outward circumstances or earthly atmosphere. If you follow Jesus, He will not always lead you to a grassy vale. If you follow Jesus, sometimes He's going to lead you into a very dry and barren desert. This is to be expected because His best training grounds just happen to be when your resources run out and when you no longer have any ability of your own. That's a very good place to be because now you can turn to God with all of your heart. Because many times God places us in circumstances that we should not judge miracle territory by externals, but by the fact that Jesus is in the midst of my desert. And if He's there, any miracle is possible if He's in the house. So don't look to your past. Don't look at your problem. Don't look at your circumstance. Don't even look at the condition of your own home or your own heart. All you need to find out is Jesus in the house. And if Jesus is in the house, He can change everything. If Jesus is here, He can transform any situation. All He's looking for is somebody that believes. His name was Joe Maggiario. He was blind, blinded by an accident at the age of 20. He lived as a street vendor in New Orleans, and then he retired and moved to Pensacola. He was a blind man, and so all he could do was read his Braille Bible. But yet he was reading in his Braille Bible about Jesus' name baptism. And he began to feel conviction in his heart. And he called up our church and said, would somebody come get me if you people baptize in Jesus' name? Because I've been reading in my Braille Bible, and God got a hold of my heart, and I believe I need to get ready for the coming of the Lord. He came to church. They brought him down to the front. We laid hands on him in the name of Jesus. He lifted up his hands and began to scream in the other tongues and began to speak in a heavenly language. We baptized him in Jesus' name. I don't care if you have been blind for 100 years. If you read in God's Word that when you're down to nothing, God's still up to something. He's ready to pour out. Sit there and languish in your desert place. I believe there's a miracle waiting on you. All you need to do is get in the presence of Jesus, and He can change everything. I found out you can create your own atmosphere with your own worship. You can create your own atmosphere with your own attitude of repentance. You can get a spirit of repentance on you that says, God, I can't change my past, but I sure am sorry for my sin. And if you'll step into my life and forgive me, I'll give my heart to you and I'll live for you with all my soul, mind, and strength. Can I get a witness from this congregation that you were lost, but now you're found? You were blind, but now you see. And it's all the result of amazing grace. The blood was shed on your behalf. And I'm going to tell you, my friend, Jesus had to reach way down to get a hold of some of you. But I'm so glad He did. And He did not say, because you have sinned so badly, I can't save you. But He said, I've got a miracle for you, and I've got a deliverance for you. So as a matter of fact, we won't tell anybody. You can go ahead and respond right along with us, even if you're not a Pentecostal. You can clap your hands. You can worship the Lord. Because the Bible says, let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. Didn't say everything that was saved. Didn't say everything that was Pentecostal. No, thank you for that resounding response. Just everything that's got breath. That means if you're breathing, you're qualified to worship. I said, if you're breathing, you are qualified to worship. I saw a blind man get the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name, and nobody witnessed to him. He was just reading his Bible. That's how conviction works. And God calls all men, and He's calling somebody in this service. And if you want this Holy Ghost experience, you need to walk up here and ask Him for it. We'll lay hands on you in Jesus' name, and God will miraculously fill you with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Will somebody give Him glory? Will somebody clap their hands and create an atmosphere? Don't you let the impossibility talk you out of your faith and your miracle here tonight. God about to loose demonstration power in this place and show you there's still a God that rules in the heavens. Hallelujah. You say, well, Brother Kinsey, I really do need a miracle in my life, but how do I know that I'm approaching miracle territory? Can you give me any landmarks? Can you give me any indicators that I'm about to approach miracle territory? First landmark that you gotta have in order to get on miracle territory. You gotta have a problem you can't solve. That's the first step. You gotta have a need you can't meet with your own resources. How many of you will at least admit you got one problem you can't solve? How many of you are sitting next to that problem now? Oh, yeah, turn to your neighbor and say, you are my problem. But why don't you look yourself in the mirror and find out that it may not be your neighbor that's the problem. It may not be your mama or your daddy that's your problem. It might be you that's your own problem. And you are a problem that is bigger than what you are able to solve, because you've got a sin problem in your life. And the only way to solve that sin problem is to bring it to the cross of Jesus Christ and let the blood of Jesus cleanse you from all sin. I come to tell somebody, you can't take care of your own sin problem. You can't take care of your own situation. You can't save yourself by yourself. You need a Savior. And I know His name. And His name is Jesus. Woo! I come to tell somebody, Jesus in this house. I come to tell somebody, Jesus still walking in the Atlantic District, ready to reach down and pick you up. Hallelujah. I remember I was at Brother Wayne Huntley's church, and I gave the altar call. And there was a lady that came to the altar, and she had this little attitude about her. Ain't nobody gonna mess with me. I'm gonna come to the altar because they brought me up here, but I'm not getting no Holy Ghost. She had that look on her face, but that wasn't what her heart was saying, because I could tell in her spirit she really needed God. She was crying out. She was trying to hide from what she really wanted. And I walked up to her and I said, "Do you want the Holy Ghost?" She said, "No!" And just said it real loud, kind of embarrassed me and herself and everybody around us. We didn't know what to do with it. I said, "Are you sure? Would you like to receive the greatest gift in all the world?" She said, "No!" And I said, "Lady, all you got to do is change that no to a yes. And Jesus loves you that much, He will fill you with the Holy Ghost right now." She says, "You mean Jesus loves me enough that if I just change my no to a yes, He will fill me with His Spirit?" I said, "I guarantee it. If you ask, you will receive." That's Bible. I don't mean to mess with anybody's theology in this place, but my theology and my understanding of Scripture, if I repent of my sins, Jesus will forgive me. And if I ask for the gift of the Holy Ghost, I shall receive that gift. And I will speak with other tongues as the Spirit gives me utterance. She just said yes one time. I laid hands on her and the Holy Ghost fell. And she began to speak with other tongues, weeping and shouting. I come to tell you, if I could get a yes out of you here, don't get that no off your face. Some of you got some no in your spirit, but I say yes to the Lord. Yes to the Holy Ghost. Yes to the outpouring of God's Spirit. Second indicator, you're about to step onto miracle territory. You got to have a problem, first of all, that you can't solve. Second of all, you don't need a majority to get the miracle to happen. You just need one other person to agree with you, and God will release His power to accomplish the purpose. And again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. That means I preach it, you agree with it, and God does the work. You don't need anything else. You say, "Well, I don't know what my family's going to think." Quit worrying about what your family's going to think about it. Quit worrying about what anybody else thinks about you around you. Quit worrying about what other Pentecostals might think about you. Quit worrying about anything other than the fact of what the Bible says, that if you come into agreement with this preacher, God will honor His word and bless you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. Woo! And I want to see somebody get the Holy Ghost right now, that I even hope I hurry up and quit so we can have a Holy Ghost outpouring. Say, oh, I wish he'd hurry up and quit so I can get up there. I wish I would hurry up and quit. Why? Because I'm so enthused in this service here tonight. Because Jesus is in this house and somebody has faith to believe in miracle territory. I just want to know, does anybody agree that blinded eyes can be opened up? Does anybody agree that deaf ears can be unstopped? Does anybody agree that a sinner can be saved by grace and his sins washed away and his heart filled and endued with power from on high? Hallelujah! I was in the Philippines. I've never seen it on this wise before, Brother Lewis. I believed it and I preached it, but I'd never seen it till I went to the Philippines. And we were having a joint youth camp between the northern and southern Luzon district. And we had it in a big convention center, and we had a great time in the Spirit. And up to that point, we had about 60-some kids receive the Holy Ghost, and I think there was over 300 that had come to that meeting without the Holy Ghost. And so we were struggling just a little bit in the beginning of that meeting to get people filled with the Spirit. And we were, you know, a one-on-one trying to pray people through, and I think we had about 69 of them receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And then, on one particular night, the Spirit of the Lord began to speak to me and said, we need to get back to the book of Acts chapter 2, where they all got it at the same time. And so I preached that in faith, that God can fill everybody with the Holy Ghost here at the very same time. And I thought that I had flopped. You know, it was one of those messages you just didn't feel good about it. I mean, you know, you did the best you could, but it felt like you were pulling teeth to try to get anybody to respond. And even in the Philippines, that's kind of odd. And I said, God, what in the world is going on? Because I feel like this message is flopped. And then about 167 of them came forward at the end of the message. I said, this is cool. They were all over the platform. They were all over the front. And I saw a cloud form at the very top of that convention center. I don't know why it was there, and I don't know what you would call it. But when I saw that cloud come down and hit all 160 whatever was there, they all got the Holy Ghost at the same time. Didn't have to go to every individual. My. I feel something about to happen in the Atlantic District, that everybody in this house can get the Holy Ghost at the same time. Listen, you can't calculate this miracle. You can't figure it out. 5 loaves and 2 fishes will not feed 5,000 men. I don't care how you slice it and dice it. But if you'll give it your all, if you'll commit your all, God will do the rest. He will bless it. He will break it. He will multiply it. And He will make it enough. He will make it enough. Woo! Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place, Atlanta. I'm feeling the same thing I felt in the Philippines. You don't come one inch behind what was in that house. But the third landmark is you have to give your all and put it in the hands of Jesus. You can't put it in the hands of this preacher because I'm not powerful enough to do anything about your sin problem or your situation. You got to put it in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. You must commit it into the hands of the Master. You can't give a portion. You can't give just a little bit. You got to give it all. And I know sometimes when you have to give it all and you don't have much, you want to hold on to what you've got. And it's hard to let it go. But I'm saying, let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. It's not worth holding on to. All the arguments that you've had why God can't fill you with the Holy Ghost, why you're not worthy to receive the Holy Ghost. I have eliminated those arguments in this service. You no longer stand a chance at the tribunal to be able to present any case to say, well, I wasn't worthy. I'm going to tell you, through Jesus Christ, you have been made worthy. I know it might be something outside your comfort zone, but I'm here to push you outside your comfort zone. I'm here to push you into a new dimension of faith. I know it don't make sense. It doesn't add up. But put your calculators up for a moment. Shut your computers off, because this is not a computer science and you cannot decide how God's going to do the miracle on your own. You just need to listen to the instruction that I'm about to give. And just do what I ask you to do. Because I promise you, I've studied the scripture. What I'm going to ask you to do is exactly what the Bible has said. And I am hoping and I am trusting that as you obey the word of the Lord, God is going to move in this service in a very special way. But I want everybody to stand. I want you to turn to your neighbor. I want you to look at him and say, have you received the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking with other tongues? And if they answer no, and if they happen to be a preacher in this district, get them to the altar quick. But we're going to take somebody by the hand. If you're not comfortable with that, I understand. But take somebody by the hand. And if you're not comfortable, I'm going to kind of push you out of your comfort zone a little bit. Because we're going to repent. We're going to repent. We're going to repent. And we're going to ask God to forgive us. Because that's very, very important. I want to build your faith in a true Jesus, in a work of the cross. But if you don't repent, then it's not going to mean anything. It's just another thrill and another chill and another sensation that you've experienced in life. And it's not going to amount to a hill of beans. Friends, I'm not just interested in giving you another sensation. I'm interested in getting you all the way to heaven. Your eternal destiny is being decided right now. And I want to be the point man for Jesus, the ambassador of Christ, to step into your life, to speak this word to you and let you know that it's important for you to repent and to ask God to forgive you and to ask Him to come into your heart. And so we're just going to take a moment right now and we're going to ask the Lord all over this building. Now, saints of God, you know that when Jesus declared the message, and when He talked about repentance, He preached repentance to the church quite a bit. So I want you to repent right along with everybody else in this house. That's not going to hurt you a bit. It shouldn't hurt your pride or injure your pride in the slightest for you to lift up your voice and say, God, forgive me. Cleanse me of all unrighteousness, any way or attitude that does not please you. I want you to take somebody by the hand and I want you to lift it to heaven right now. And I want there to be a cry all over this building. I want there to be a cry all over this building right now. Everyone in this house, I feel miracle territory. You are standing on holy ground. You're standing on miracle territory where God's wanted to pour out His Spirit. Don't stop this, church. Don't shortchange this prayer right now. I want you to pour your heart out to God. What happened in the Philippines can happen right here. What happened to Joe Majario can happen to you. A blind man, a street vendor from New Orleans, retired to Pensacola, reading in the Braille Bible about the magnificence of grace and the glory of the cross and the power of the name, came to an old-fashioned apostolic altar, repented of his sins, was gloriously filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, and was baptized in Jesus' name. And I can say Joe Majario's name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah. Somebody cry out, Jesus, forgive me. Jesus, I need you in my life. Jesus, I'm going to obey my revelation of faith that I've received through the preaching of the Word. Hallelujah, hallelujah. That was real good, church. I commend you, but that's not enough. We need to press on in this repentance. It's not just a step. It is the work of the Holy Ghost. Repentance is a work of the Holy Ghost in our heart. And we need some repentance going on. God, I turn from my wicked ways. I walk before you in faith and in righteousness. I love you, Jesus. I want to serve you, Lord. I've tried everything and everything has failed me. But you're the one that I turn to in the time of trouble. I don't care how many times you have sought for the Holy Ghost and perhaps have not been able to prevail and receive. I want you with faith to believe that tonight is your night. You are ordained and appointed to receive the Holy Ghost tonight. By divine decree from God's Word. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of the Lord. Now lift your hands in this place and just worship and thank God for His forgiveness. Receive that. Thank God for repentance. Thank God for it. It does not change anything around us. It does not change anything that God is doing. Just simply believe and have faith that you're standing on miracle territory in your desert place. Your abused path, your troubled heart, your troubled marriage, your children that have gone wild and you don't know what to do about. Situations have overwhelmed you. I serve a miracle working God tonight. Hallelujah. I would like for you to turn to your neighbor again and ask them this question. Have you received the Holy Ghost speaking with other tongues? And if they answer no, I want you to say, would you please come with me to the front? And we're going to go and stand in the front and we're going to ask Jesus to give you the Holy Ghost. Would you do that right now all over the building? I want you to take them by the hand and bring them to the front. We would not embarrass anybody. We're not trying to force you. We're not trying to get you to do anything against your will. We just understand that when there's a big crowd like this, it's very difficult for people to feel like that they could come up here and ask God for something. But if you're desperate enough and hungry enough, it won't matter whether anybody comes with you or not. And you're certainly welcome to walk up here regardless. All over this house, all over the balcony, anywhere you may be. We're going to give it a moment here. Let's just take our time. Take our time. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Don't get too quick on me. There's people coming from all over. Would y'all please come and stand as close to the front as you can? Please come as close to the front as you can so we can make room behind you. That's it. That's it. Come on. Come on. All over the building. All over the building. This is not just for people who need the Holy Ghost for the first time. Perhaps you have backslid and walked away from God, and you need a renewing of the Holy Ghost, and you need to refresh your experience and your faith with God. God is able to do that for you. He is able because He's a good God, and we all need renewing of the Holy Ghost. Would you please come all over the building, all over the house, every one of you, come and stand in the presence of the King. Don't let the enemy shortchange you or stop you from receiving your miracle in this place. All over this building, all over this house. God's about to pour out His Spirit in a very powerful way. Don't get too quick on me right now. Hold on. Hang in there. Keep praying. Keep believing God. But we need to give plenty of time while people are thinking about it. We're not trying to persuade you just simply with oratory. Trying to force you into a decision that you don't want to make. We're trying to convince you that Jesus Christ has your best interest at heart, and only through the power of His name can you find salvation. For Acts 4:12 declares it, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And so therefore, standing upon the word of the Lord and on a firm foundation of Scripture, I declare unto you that the only way you can be saved or filled with the glorious gift of the Holy Ghost is in the name of Jesus. It is not in the name of the Pentecostal church or Brian Kinsey or anybody else here. It is in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that the Comforter comes and the promise of the Father is given unto you. I want to convince you of that. And if you need a few moments to think about it, I understand. But don't think too long. Don't wait too long. Don't let the enemy talk you out of your miracle. Don't let the enemy talk you out of your deliverance. Don't let the enemy talk you out of your salvation and the power to live for God in this evil and ungodly world. Please step forward all over this building. All over this building. All right, this is what I want you to do. Saints of God, those of you that are praying with these people, I want you to get right in front of them. Just one of you. Just one of you designated. Get right in front of them. You're facing them. And you're going to lay hands on them in the name of Jesus. That's how we're going to do this. There's no way that I personally will be able to pray for everybody. And preachers, if you've been used by God to pray people through to the Holy Ghost, or maybe you felt like it's not been your ministry or whatever, come on, we're going to add it to your ministry. We're fixing to add something to you. God's going to increase you tonight. And you're going to be able to pray for these people and they get the Holy Ghost. Evangelists, I need your help. Pastors, we need your help. We've got all kinds of people in this house that need the Holy Ghost. Now, there are those that perhaps cannot make it up here to the front. I understand that. You can pray right where you're standing and God can fill you with the Holy Ghost right where you're at. You don't have to be up here geographically. That's not the issue. The issue is these people have made a step of faith. And that step of faith has brought them into this house and into a miracle territory with God so God can fulfill His Word on their behalf. Okay? So you can get the Holy Ghost anywhere in this building. You don't have to be up here. All you got to do is lift your hands right now. Because we've already repented. And I felt like there were people here that truly repented and asked the Lord to forgive them. And I believe God heard you. I believe God received your prayer. I believe God